This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. I hope y'all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure the people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers, serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there, making sure that people are having are able to get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear load and truck drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my local funeral home workers and, of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Man, oh, man, what a night last night for the Atlanta Hawks, huh? Oh. It was a much, much, much needed win. Can't emphasize really how much the Hawks needed that win last night, and they got it. Caris LeVert, it was his night last night as he wins it at the buzzer for the Atlanta Hawks. What a night for Caris LeVert, 25 points, 11 of 19 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3 as well. Had 3 rebounds, 5 assists too. So, good night for him. And he wasn't even the leading scorer. Zachary Richardson, a rookie, putting up a big night. Needed a big night for him as well. 27 points for the rook. He was 5 of 7 from 3, 11 of 13 from the field. He really couldn't miss for real last night. Onyeka Okongwu, solid game, 16 points, 12 rebounds. Trae Young, again, not a great shooting night, but was dishing it out as he always is, 12 points. How about 15 assists last night? He was only 5 of 17 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, but when everybody else was cooking, he was just like, shoot, I'll pass the rock. I'll get it to my guys who are hot. I'll get it to Zachary Richardson, I'll get it to Caris LeVert, I'll get it to the other guys. Dominic Barlow, who just recently got signed to a regular NBA contract. He was on a two-way deal. He got signed to a NBA contract, and especially they needed him after not being able to have George Niang last night because he was out due to an illness. Dominic Barlow was okay, 6 points, a couple of rebounds for Dominic in 13 minutes of action. He got the start last night. Clint Capella was solid, 11 points, 4 rebounds for Clint. Garrison Matthews, who had kind of fallen out of the rotation a little bit, he got back in, and he had some solid numbers last night, 11 points, 4-6 from the field, 3-5 from 3. But, again, all about Caris LeVert getting that nice shot to go, that nice driving layup to go at the buzzer. Hawks did a solid job with the Grizzlies last night. Obviously, he got the win, but there was no Ja Morant last night. He was out, so that definitely helped. Desmond Bane picked up the slack for sure, though. He ended up having a triple-double last night. Desmond Bane did 35 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Luke Kennard had 17. Zach Edey, their big rookie, had 15 points. And then you saw guys like Vince Williams Jr. come off the bench and have a good game. Gigi Jackson, 11 points, along with Brandon Clark, had 11 off the bench. But it was, a much-needed win for the Hawks. They shot well from the field, too, 57% from the field, 46% from three. And, man, just going and reliving through that that last shot for the Hawks, you saw Dyson Daniels get a clutch steal because that's what the Great Barrier Thief does. Big steal at the end and an assist to help set Caris LeVert up for that for the game-winning bucket at the buzzer. So, man, it was a fun game to watch with Caris LeVert making that layup as time expired last night. So, if you missed it, here's kind of how it went. Like I said, Dyson Daniels stole the ball from Desmond Bane, who again had the triple-double. But the Great Barrier Thief is gonna get you when it matters. You know what I'm saying? The Great Barrier Thief got him when it mattered. So Desmond Bane, and it's actually funny because that was actually Desmond Bane's first career triple-double, and Dyson Daniels definitely spoiled his night because you think the Grizzlies and Hawks are on their way to overtime and you don't know necessarily what's going to happen, but Dyson Daniels said, nah, we're going to win this one. Dyson Daniels steals it from Desmond Bane with 3.8 seconds left in the game. Caris LeVert got the ball. Street really did a good job hustling, getting down the floor, and got the layup off right before time expired. So, man, we talk about these trade deadline acquisitions having games. We saw the Jock Peterson game, the Eddie Rosario game, and the Jorge Soler game from the Braves. This was the Caris LeVert game for the Hawks. Had 16 points in the fourth quarter, LeVert did. So that was, again, huge, huge, huge for the Hawks. And the Hawks, we talked about them at times having problems closing out games. This season there have been times where they've been in it, and they've been right there down the stretch of ball games, and they just have not done what they needed to do, get the necessary stops, get the necessary buckets. They just haven't done a great job finishing a lot of games this season because they've been competitive in a lot of these games. They just haven't finished the games well. It's like there haven't been – I mean, there obviously have been games where the Hawks have, just been blown out and they've, they weren't necessarily competitive all game long. But more times than not, the Hawks are competitive, and it just comes to – what kind of Hawks team shows up down the stretch. And unfortunately, a lot of times they just, whether it's turnovers or, just allowing a team to go on an extended run at the end or not being able to make shots, whatever the case is, they just haven't been able to finish the games like they've needed to finish. Last night was not that case. They did a great job finishing that game last night, scored the final 7 points over the last 2 minutes and 37 seconds. I don't know what I'm thinking about. So, look, that helped. the Hawks, who are, again, trying to get up in the standings and set themselves up nicely because, again, I don't think they're going to catch Detroit for that sixth spot in the East. But if they can get up to that 7-8 game, I think that's going to be huge for them, where they only got to win one game or they at least have two chances to get into the postseason if they can get into that 7-8 game. So we'll go over the standings here in just a minute, but it did definitely help the Hawks, obviously, with that win last night. And then just a quick thing on Memphis here. You kind of caught Memphis at the right time. They have been on a little bit of a skid lately. They've lost 6 of 8, and they are dropping like flies right now in the Western Conference standings because the West is very tight right now and very competitive. It's unfortunate that the East and the West are kind of, you know, they have this much of a gap talent-wise when it comes to, all the teams in the West versus all the teams in the East. But the 10th place team in the Eastern Conference is Chicago Bulls. They're, you know, a few games over under 500. Yeah, the Mavericks, they're over 500, and they're in, you know, they're in 10th place in the East. I mean, in the West, so you get the difference there. I have to pull up the exact records for you here in just a second, but you get what I'm putting down. But Caris LeVert, too, just another note on, you know, kind of the Grizzlies sliding here down these last few games. Again, losing 6 of their last 8. LeVert's final basket marked the third straight Memphis loss when the opponent scored the winner in the closing seconds. The Grizzlies lost over the weekend to the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs, where they lost in the final moments of the game as well. So the Grizzlies, unfortunately, have been, you know, all too familiar with how this game played out last night. They've had a couple of games now in a row, 3 straight, where they've lost at the buzzer or in the waning seconds of the game. So another tough loss for the Grizzlies. But, hey, we'll take it if we're the Hawks. We needed that dub, and we got it. And a good job on the Hawks for, again, capitalizing on the Grizzlies not having Ja Morant. And they're usually pretty good without Ja Morant. I mean, they still showed that last night, but you were able to get the dub. And also, too, want to point out this stat, because this is a kind of a crazy number to me. Hawks scored a season-high 82 points in the paint. They was eating down low, and I absolutely love it. The Hawks were eating down low, 82 points in the paint last night for the Atlanta Hawks. And so going back and looking at the standings right now in the NBA, the Hawks, I think, were able to make a little bit of ground last night. They were, so they are now only a half game behind the Orlando Magic. Literally, the Magic are just one game up in the win column. They both have 33 losses. Orlando's 29-33. Hawks are now 28-33. And they're only a game and a half behind the Miami Heat. Miami is 29-31. And I just told you, the Hawks are 28-33. So you still are very much alive to get that 7th seed. So the Hawks still got to keep battling. But again, these next few games do not get any easier for the Hawks. They got the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. And, of course, you're getting that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of your Atlanta Hawks. Pre-game starting at 7 o'clock, tip at 7:30. The Hawks will be back at home in the friendly confines of State Farm Arena for the next 4 games. They got the Bucks tonight at home, the Pacers in back-to-back games Thursday and Saturday, both here at State Farm Arena, 76ers at home, Hornets at home, Clippers at home, and they don't hit the road again until they take on the Brooklyn Nets on March 16th. So you got to take advantage and win a lot of these home games against winnable teams you got coming up. Like the Pacers, you should be able to at least win one game against them. I know they're 34-25 and their record is, you know, better than yours, but I don't think the Pacers are that much better than the Hawks. The 76ers, Joel Embiid's out for the season. You need to win that game. Point blank period. Hornets are 14-46. You need to win that game. The Clippers, it's going to be a tough game, but, you know, we'll see if the Hawks can maybe get that one. And then you got to beat the Nets, too, even with that game being on the road. The Nets are 21-39, and then you play the Hornets again. They're 14-46. So Hawks got a stretch. After this game against the Bucks, Hawks got a stretch of some very winnable games that they need to go ahead and win. Because, again, if you can have a good stretch here, it'll set you up nicely for, you know, down – the road at the end of the month when you take on the Heat on March 27th. And then at the beginning of April to close out the season when you got the Magic on April 8th and to close out the season on April 13th. Those are going to be very important games. And then winning these games will set you up to hopefully control your own destiny when you talk about the play-in. So Hawks, huge, huge, huge win against the Memphis Grizzlies last night. They needed it, and they got it. And shout out to the Great Barrier Thief for setting up Caris LeVert to score that game winner. We love to see it. All right, when we come back here about 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, David Deschant of The Athletic put together a list of who he thinks are the top 10 free agents at every position. We're going to look at the defensive tackles and talk about if the Falcons could potentially land any of the guys he has in the top 10. That's coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. And that's right, we got the Kia Studios going up on a Tuesday. Shout out my girl Noelle holding it down behind the glass. Doing a great job as always. They just re-showed the highlight of the Hawks and Grizzlies game. Hawks get the big 132-130 win over the Grizzlies last night. They showed the Great Barrier Thief, Dyson Daniels, picking the pocket of Desmond Bain, who, good for him, had his first triple-double. But guess what? Spoiled it, did Dyson Daniels and the Hawks. After Dyson Daniels took his cookies, man, he got the cookies right out the cookie jar, hit the nice outlet pass down to Caris LeVert, and then Caris LeVert had a nice finish right at the end of the game. Had a nice finish right at the rim, makes the layup as time expires, and Hawks get the 132-130 win, and that was just a clutch win. And you hope a win that can get this Hawks team going and maybe carry them to a couple of victories. They got a tough one coming up tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks, and maybe hopefully that can give them a little momentum going into tonight's game against the Bucks, which, by the way, is going to be at home. So that fares well for the Hawks. They'll be back in State Farm Arena, the friendly confines of State Farm Arena tonight to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm actually going to check to see, because Ja Morant was out for the Grizzlies last night, and that obviously helped the Hawks out. Desmond Bane picked up the slack for sure, but it was good for the Hawks not to have to deal with Ja Morant. Santi Aldama, who has been really good for the Grizzlies this year, he was out as well. And then they lost Jaren Jackson Jr. less than 2 minutes into the game. So he went down with a left ankle injury after trying to block a shot, block Dyson Daniels' shot. So he went out less than 2 minutes in the game. So, again, Hawks got a nice break, but still, the Grizzlies stepped up, and Desmond Bane stepped up. So it still was not an easy feat for the Hawks, but they got the job done. A huge, huge play at the end by Dyson Daniels again, getting the steal, hitting Caris LeVert down the court, and good for Caris LeVert, who was already taken off down the court and then made the layup, hit a nice move, kind of hit a nice like up and over Euro step type deal to get the layup at the end to go as time expired. So, again, huge win for the Hawks, but the Grizzlies did have, again, Santi Aldama and Ja Morant already out, and they're losing Jaren Jackson Jr. less than 2 minutes in the game. That was tough for the Grizzlies, but it was a good break for the Hawks, and because they needed that win, especially too because the Heat beat the Warriors last night. Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat and Pat Riley won a little revenge on Jimmy Butler, so they got that last night. So you wanted to be able to keep pace with the Heat. I don't think the Magic were in action last night. If they were, then they lost all the I'll double check that one, though, because the Hawks did a half a game. Yeah, the Magic did not play last night. The Hawks did get a half a game on the Magic, so now they're only a half a game behind the Magic. So, and the Heat did not beat the Warriors. They beat the Wizards. I saw the wrong W team. But anywho, the Heat still got the win, so it was good to, for the Hawks to keep pace with the Heat as far as the Eastern Conference standings go. So you are still only a game and a half behind the Heat, half game behind the Magic for eighth. Again, game and a half behind the Heat for seventh. So, again, you want to try and be in that 7-8 game if you can, if you're the Hawks. It would be great if you could be seven and you would host two play-in games at the worst. Hopefully you only have to play one play-in game and you become the seven seed if you win that first 7-8 matchup. But still, you can be the seven seed and then at the, again, worst case scenario, you're hosting two play-in games, got two shots to win, two play-in games at home to get into the playoffs. That's the best case scenario for the Hawks to get into the actual postseason. Even if you're the eight seed and you have to be on the road, you win that game, you're the seven seed. If not, you're at home against the loser or the winner, excuse me, of the 9-10 game, and you got a shot at it there. So the 7-8 game is important because you get two tries at it. You get two shots at it. If you're in that 9-10 game, you got to win both games, and not only you got to win both games, but that second game, you're going to be on the road. So that's what it is there. But Hawks, again, big win last night against the Memphis Grizzlies, 132-130. The Great Barrier Thief coming up with the clutch steal. Caris LeVert with the clutch layup at the buzzer. All right, I do want to talk about the Atlanta Falcons because there was an article put out yesterday by David Deshant, I'm sorry if I mispronounce his name, from The Athletic, and he made a list of his top 10 free agents at every position in the NFL. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, linebacker, defensive tackle, defensive end, corner, all the positions. So we'll go through each one at some point before free agency gets kicked off, or really, we might not have time to go through everyone before free agency gets kicked off, but we'll go through the main ones that, you know, the Falcons could be after, and we'll go over the positions that the Falcons could definitely be looking for in free agency, and, you know, we'll try to hit some other ones that might be relevant, you know, before the draft as well. Anywho, today I want to focus on the defensive tackles that Deshant has on his top 10 list, or he, you know, who made the top 10 list as far as top 10 free agent defensive tackles go. So on the list, he has Milton Williams as number one. He was with the Eagles, obviously, last year, had a big play. I think he had a sack and a half or two and a half sacks. Either way it goes, he had a big game in the Super Bowl. Milton Williams did. So he's going to be a free agent. Last report I heard on Milton Williams is that the Panthers could be big players on Milton Williams. I think Milton Williams is going to be one of those guys that's out of the Falcons' range as far as money-wise. I don't think they'll be able to afford a guy like Milton Williams, but you never know. So we'll see what ends up happening there. So Milton Williams is number one. Javon Hargrave obviously was with the Eagles. Then he signed a big deal with the 49ers, and now he is a free agent. That, I think that could definitely be a guy that's in play. He's a little bit past his prime. I don't want to say past his prime, but he's a little bit older. Let's put it that way. I think that's a better way to put it. He's a little bit older at this point, and so I think he could definitely be a guy that if they let go of David Onyemata, maybe that's a guy they kind of supplement and try to bring in to be maybe a more of a veteran presence, maybe on a cheaper deal than what David Onyemata is on currently. So we'll see. But again, he's number two on this list, so he's still going to garner a little bit of money. So we'll see what Javon Hargrave ends up, what his market ends up being as far as free agency goes. But Javon Hargrave is number two on this list. And just in case you're wondering, Javon Hargrave is 32. So again, like I said, you know, I don't want to say he's past his prime, but he is a little bit older. Odigizuwa from the Cowboys. I'm sorry if I butchered that name. I heard the Cowboys are going to likely franchise tag him if they can't get a long-term deal done with him. So I don't think he'll really be on the table for any team besides the Cowboys because they are, I saw a report from ESPN that pretty much said if they don't end up signing into a long-term deal, that then they are going to put the franchise tag on him. So I don't think he'll be available for any really part of free agency, but we can see. Maybe it ends up happening, but I think he's going to end up remaining with the Cowboys. Number four, DJ Jones of the Broncos. We know that Broncos defense is stingy, and he was a big part of that defense as well, along with Pat Surtain and the rest of the fellas. So I think this could definitely be a guy that the Falcons are interested in. Again, he's a little bit higher up on the list. We'll see what the number is, because that is what's important, obviously. But I do think this could definitely be a guy that the Falcons maybe try to get in on. Puna Ford from the Chargers, again, another guy. I would, you know, he's been very productive for the Chargers, and I definitely think this is a guy that would definitely be, all these guys I think would obviously fit well with the Falcons, and just a matter of the number. But I think when you start to talk about DJ Jones, Puna Ford, I think these guys are very much realistic candidates to, you know, possibly join the Falcons. But again, you're going to have their own teams trying to keep them too. You know, the Broncos, they got Bo Nix on a rookie deal. They're going to have money to spend. You talk about the Chargers. Now, I believe they did just pay Justin Herbert. So they're going to be a little strapped for cash. So Puna Ford definitely could be an option. He could end up being a cap casualty for the Chargers. Levi Onwuzurike, let me try that again, for the Lions. He is number six on the list. The Lions, they do have a lot of money tied up in a lot of places. They gave, Jared Goff, a bag, So we'll see if they end up finding the cap space to potentially bring back a guy like Levi Onwuzurike. So, again, could be a guy the Falcons bring in too as well. So I would definitely like that, bringing a guy over from the Lions defense. Would have no qualms with that at all. Jaren Reed is number seven. Jaren Reed, another guy who is slightly older. I'll get his age for you here in just a second. Slightly older, but still I think could end up being very productive for the Falcons if he ended up coming here. But he might be he's 32 as well. So again, he's a little bit older, still got some good gas left, and could be a very viable option for the Falcons, because again, maybe you get him on a little bit cheaper of a deal than what David Onyemata is now, because again, all signs are pointing to the Falcons probably cutting David Onyemata, saving that almost seven mil in the cap. So if they can get Jaren Reed on maybe a little bit cheaper of a deal, then I could definitely see him coming in and, again, being that veteran presence for what's going to end up still being a pretty young Falcons defense. T.R. Tart is at number eight. Tashawn Wharton at number nine. Tart was with the Chargers last year. Tashawn Wharton was with the Chiefs last season. And Calais Campbell is number 10 on this list, man. Calais Campbell still getting it done at his big, big age, man, is still making top 10 lists as far as top free agent defensive tackles. And I wouldn't mind having Calais Campbell back at all, to be honest, if you can get him for the right number. But, you know, he's looking to go to Super Bowl contenders, and I don't know at this point if he views the Falcons as that. And, you know, I don't know if he would just come right back to the Falcons after being with the Falcons in, 2020, I guess, three, you would call it. Going to the Dolphins last year, I don't know if he would be wanting to come back to the Falcons. But, hey, the money's right. Maybe. But T.R. Tart, I think, will be good. I think the Chargers are really going to try and keep him, though, because he was a big part of their defense. And then Tashawn Wharton, he could end up being a cap casualty for the Chiefs. We'll see. But we know they like to keep their defense intact as well. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I like all these guys. It's a matter of the number, what the number is, and what – kind of money the Falcons are going to have, what type of money and cap space the Falcons are going to be able to have too. So all big questions there. But, you know, out of these 10 guys, I would like all of them. I think a couple of them are out of the question, but there are some that are definitely realistic for the Falcons. Like, I think, again, Puna Ford, I think, could be a big option. Jaren Reed, I think Javon Hargrave could end up being a big option. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But when we come back here about 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, we got some other NFL headlines to get into. T. Higgins, franchise tagged again. Doesn't mean he won't get a big deal, but the writing is on the wall that I don't know if that franchise tag is going anywhere. So T. Higgins might just have to end up playing on that franchise tag or hold out. We'll see what happens. But that's coming up next here on Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in, tapped in right now, that is on their way to work, already at work. Appreciate you. Shout out to everybody that is tuned in, tapped in right now, that is on their way to the gym, already at the gym, getting them endorphins flowing this morning. I appreciate you as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app, because if you are not usually an early riser, but you're up early for some reason, you got maybe a big meeting that you're preparing for today, or you're taking somebody to the airport, whatever the case may be, you're headed to the airport yourself, whatever the case is, if you're liking the show, you're like, man, I really like this show, but I'm not usually up this early. Guess what? I have a solution for you. There's no excuse not to listen still, because all you have to do is download the free Odyssey app. You find 92.9 The Game. Search 92.9 The Game. Once you find that, find my show, The Hometown Take, and then you can listen wherever. Subscribe to The Hometown Take, and you get notifications about whenever stuff is posted to my page, audio is posted to my page, and guess what? You can listen to this show in its entirety whenever you want. Doesn't have to be 5 a.m. It could be 5 p.m. when you are on your way home from work. It could be 8 a.m. when you're getting ready for work or on your way to work. It could be whenever. All you got to do is download that free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it today. You have access to, again, shows in their entirety. Not just my show, but any show. All the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can listen to them in their entirety. You can go back and listen to your favorite segments and your favorite interviews as well. That's all on the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. Okay, we have to talk some NFL headlines, because there's a lot going on in the NFL. Really, three big stories happened yesterday. Number one, the Philadelphia Eagles, they released six-time Pro Bowl cornerback Darius Slay. Now, this seemed like it probably was coming. He is just going to end up being, you know, a cap casualty. You know, the Eagles are obviously, they're the reigning Super Bowl champion right now, and you can't keep everybody. And they were going to save money, $4.3 million against the salary cap, to be exact, when they made this move. So they try to bring him back or deal, but probably Darius Slay, if he wants to play next season, is probably going to end up being with a different team. So, again, this came from Adam Schefter on Monday. Slay's release is going to be designated as a post-June 1st transaction. And again, it's going to save the Eagles $4.3 million against the salary cap. The Eagles currently have a little over $20 million in cap space, but they have to try and bring back a slew of players that helped them win Super Bowl 59, including all-pro defensive or all-pro linebacker, excuse me, Zach Bond. He's probably going to take up the most of their cap space. They're also gonna. They also have Josh Sweat, who's a free agent. We talked about Milton Williams last segment, talking about him being a free agent. And according to David Deshaun, he's the top defensive tackle free agent when it comes to defensive tackle. So he's obviously on the free agent. The Eagles are gonna come back, and we'll see again who they prioritize, because they're not gonna bring back everybody. Between Zach Bond, Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, and guard Mekhi Becton, those being their big free agents, they're not going to be able to re-sign all those guys. They're just not. So maybe you prioritize a Zach Bond on defense and a Mekhi Becton on offense, or maybe you feel like, since, you know, you pump out great offensive linemen almost every year, it feels like if you're the Eagles, maybe you let Mekhi Becton walk and try to bring back a Zach Bond and a Josh Sweat, or a Zach Bond and Milton Williams. Who knows? But they're not going to be able to bring back all of those guys. It's just I don't think they have the cap space to bring back all four, because all four of those guys are going to be highly coveted agency, and they're all going to garner a big number, a big contract. So it's going to be hard for them to bring all those guys back. But releasing Darius Slay, saving that $4.3 million against the cap, is going to help them bring back at least probably a couple of those guys. So he is out as the Eagles' corner. And again, maybe he re-signs on a cheaper deal, but if I had to guess in my heart of hearts and in my gut of guts, he's probably going to be elsewhere next season. But we'll see. We'll see what the market looks like for Darius Slay. T. Higgins, franchise tagged again. Second year in a row, he has been franchise tagged. So Higgins announced the news Monday by posting on X. He just put, and I quote, tag. That's actually pretty funny. The Bengals later announced that franchise tagged T. Higgins. And so they did so, quote, this is from the Bengals, with the intent of continuing to work toward a long-term deal in Cincinnati. So, look, they're going to try. We know Joe Burrow has put the pressure on the Cincinnati Bengals front office to bring back Jamar, bring back T. Higgins, and bring back Trey Hendrickson. I don't know if they're going to be able to do all three. I feel like they probably can't bring back all three, but maybe they can get the job done. We'll see. It's going to be tough, though, because T. Higgins is going to want a bag, as he should. Jamar Chase is going to deserve a bag, and their general manager already said they're going to make him the highest-paid wide receiver and the highest-paid non-QB in the NFL. So, you know, okay, you can do that, but, you know, how are you going to sign these other guys? I mean, there's way around it. Look, we all know that you can manipulate the cap however so you want. But it's going to be interesting to see if they can bring back all three of those guys when you talk about Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson. But T. Higgins has been placed on the franchise tag, and we'll see if he ends up getting a long-term deal. But his franchise tender would pay him $26.2 million for the 2025 season if he's unable to agree to a long-term contract with the Bengals by the July 15th deadline. And so teams are going to have until Tuesday at 4 p.m. to place the franchise tag on pending free agents. And I believe that is today, this Tuesday at 4 p.m. So, again, like I told you, Cincinnati has expressed optimism. And look, it sounds good, but trying to do it is a different thing. But they have expressed optimism that the teams can get deals done this offseason with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Trey Hendrickson. Chase and Hendrickson are under contract for one more season. That is worth noting, but they all want their deals now. And again, Joe Burrow has put the pressure on them, on the Cincinnati front office, to keep all of them. So we'll see what ends up happening. The Bengals' de facto general manager right now, Duke Tobin, said, like I told you, the franchise wants to make Jamar Chase the highest non-paid quarterback in the league. But again, T. Higgins has been a big part of that offense, and he has shown he can take over games, and he has showed that he is for sure a wide receiver one. So like I said, T. Higgins going to want that bag too, and rightfully so. You know what I'm saying? All right, continuing on here with some NFL headlines here on the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews hanging out on a Tuesday morning. The Hall of Famer, Jimmy Johnson, has retired from Fox Sports NFL coverage. So we all know he was a Hall of Fame coach, won two Super Bowls and a college national championship. He has announced his retirement from Fox Sports after being a part of its NFL coverage for most of the network's 31 years of existence. So the 81-year-old Johnson did make the announcement yesterday during an appearance on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. He said, quote, "The most fun I ever had in my career, that's counting Super Bowls and national championships, was at Fox Sports." And he also added that he loved working for CB Banks and Fox NFL Sunday producer Bill Richards. He also said, quote, "But I've made an extremely difficult decision. I've been thinking about it for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've decided to retire from Fox. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss all the guys. I'll see them occasionally. It's been a great run starting 31 years ago." So, man, it really has been a good run. He's worked alongside Kurt Menefee, Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, Michael Strahan. He did two stints with Fox totaling in 25 years. And, again, hired for the pregame show in 1994, spent two seasons before leaving to become the GM for the Dolphins in 96, and then returned, or he's with the Dolphins for five seasons, then returned to Fox in 2002, excuse me. So he has been one of the best in a pregame show that when you talk about, you know, Fox NFL Sunday, that is one of the best football pregame shows and one of the best just sports pregame shows that there is. You know, it's probably, in my opinion, it might be right there below, you know, when you talk about inside the NBA and NBA tip-off, it might be right below Chuck, Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq. It might be right below them when you talk about pregame shows, and Jimmy Johnson has been a big part of that. So him giving his insight has always been good. You know, I love when he gets fiery at times talking about, you know, back in his day, how things were and whatnot. So, man, it's gonna be different. It's gonna feel different because ever since I've watched football, I've known Jimmy Johnson being again with Kurt Menefee and Howie Long and Michael Strahan. Well, I haven't always known Michael Strahan because I was watching back when, like in 07, right before Strahan retired, and he was on that Giants team when he set the sack record and whatnot. But still, it's gonna feel very different not seeing Jimmy Johnson on the screen when we're getting ready for NFL Sunday. But good stuff from Jimmy Johnson all these years, and definitely appreciate what he has done in the television business. And obviously, like I said, Hall of Fame coach, that resume already speaks for itself. But, man, it is it's going to – again, like I said, it's going to feel different. So, and he said the reason he decided to come back before was because there was hesitation. And this time, he says he's 100% confident that this is the right thing for him to do at this time and with his family. So, Kurt Menefee, honestly, was talking about that via phone as well. And so, we'll see what's next for Jimmy Johnson. But I hope what's next for him is just him enjoying the rest of his life. Hopefully, a rest of his long life, and he can just chill out with his family, enjoy his, you know, kids, grandkids. He can float out on a boat somewhere if he wants to, year-round, if that's what he chooses to do, and just, again, enjoy the fruits of his labor because, again, being a Hall of Fame coach and, you know, a great broadcaster, he is he's put in the work, and hopefully now he can enjoy the rest of his life and just chill out and hang out. But Jimmy Johnson retiring from Fox Sports. So there you have it, some NFL headlines for you there. Appreciate y'all tuning in. That is my time, but I'll be back Thursday. I'm not going to be here tomorrow going to West Georgia Media Day. By the way, shout out to my girl Noelle, also two West Georgia grads holding it down in the Kia Studios. I'll be at West Georgia Media Day tomorrow talking to the youth, trying to give back to the youth out there at in Carrollton, Georgia, at West Georgia. So I won't be here tomorrow, but I'll be back Thursday to chop it up with you about the Hawks. It'll be 92.9 The Game night as well, too. Looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. We'll talk about the Falcons and get into probably the defensive ends, who David Deshaun has as his top 10 free agent defensive ends, and who of those 10 could the Falcons potentially land. We'll get into all that on Thursday and more. But until then, the morning shift with Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson coming at you next on a Tuesday on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.